History, in fact, is not in the hands of the powers of darkness, chance, or human decisions alone. When evil energy that we see is unleashed, when Satan vehemently bursts in, when a multitude of scourges and ills surface, the Lord, the supreme arbiter of historical events, arises. He leads history wisely towards the dawn of the new heavens and the new earth, of which, in the image of the New Jerusalem, the last part of the book of Revelation sings. Chapters 21 to 22. So wrote Pope Benedict XVI in his third Wednesday audience of May 11th, 2005, just a few weeks after he was elected Pope, perhaps in some ways foreseeing what was in store for us, but with words of comfort to see us through. There is a limit to evil in all its origins and manifestations, from direct diabolical activity to the sins of men to natural disasters, plagues, pestilences, droughts, and famines. There is only so much they can do, even if the devil and his cohorts present themselves as nearly all-powerful. But as the Gospel of the Gerasene Demoniac and the Book of Job make clear, the evil spirits have to ask God's permission to act, and their non serviam has a limit. The devil was given permission to touch Job, but to leave his skin alone. That is, he could inflict in physical evil, even on an innocent man, but his interior, his will and spirit were inviolable. Satan would rage against the curidars, especially when a big sinner was on his way to confession, even burning the priest's room, but leaving a perfect rectangle around his bed, in which he only slept an hour or two per night, showing quite vividly and geometrically the limits of demonic power. The evil spirits are like rabid dogs in a leash. Only if we put ourselves within their range, by our own choice to sin, are we in any real danger. Fear not him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. There is a deep mystery to evil, but we know from faith that God only allows such for the greater good. For love requires that we choose the good in freedom, which implies that we be free in this choice, which in turn means that it is within our power not to choose the good. God wills the salvation of all men, and we are aided in this choice for the good by his grace. There is never, ever a necessity to sin, and the devil can never, ever tempt us beyond our capacity to resist by grace and free will, even if we must shed our blood, and most of us will not be called to do even that. As Thomas More admitted, this is not the stuff of which martyrs are made. Like him, however, we must all be ready for that ultimate sacrifice. God is never far from us, closer even than our inmost thoughts, and he can always bring good out of evil, and the greatest good out of the greatest evil, even the death of his own son. As the Pope makes clear, there is consequently a desire to reaffirm that God is not indifferent to human events, but penetrates them, creating his own ways, or in other words, his effective plans and deeds. According to our hymn, his divine intervention has a very precise purpose, to be a sign that invites all the peoples of the earth to conversion. The hymn thus invites all of us, ever anew, to conversion. The nations must learn to read God's message in history. The adventure of humanity is not confused and meaningless, nor is it doomed ever to be appealed against or to be abused by the overbearing and the perverse. The Almighty, subsistent love, truth, and goodness, desires with all his being that we choose to love him in this life and be together with him for eternity in the next. And to make this choice, we must be free, for love may only be chosen in freedom. The only real evil, therefore, as Pope John Paul teaches in his own meditation on suffering, Salvifici Dolores, in 1984, is the loss of this eternal good, for which we should be willing to give up everything, which is why the martyrs, although seeming to have suffered disaster, are in fact the most blessed. Again to the Pope. It is the just of history, the victors over the satanic beast, who intone this canticle on which we now intend to meditate. It is they who, through their apparent defeat in martyrdom, are in fact the true builders of the new world, with God the supreme architect. So fret not, dear reader or listener, regardless of how bad things might get, even if we are called to live through that final unleashing of evil that will precede Christ's final advent. Live fearlessly and have hope. What's the worst the devil and his cohorts can do? Kill us all? A few moments of pain and an eternity of limitless joy? Should we not, at one level, like the early martyrs, rejoice in this, as death is a necessary gateway to eternal life, through which we all must cross by hook or by crook? St. Ignatius, the third bishop of Antioch, on his way to be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum, pleaded with his fellow Christians, "Allow me to become food for the wild beasts, through whose means it will be granted me to reach God. I am the wheat of God, and am ground by the teeth of the wild beasts, that I may be found the pure bread of Christ." God knows what he is about, and all things work together for the good of those that love him and those that belong to him, especially the least of his children. So choose life, that you and your descendants may live, now and forever.